This time I'd like to bring up Pastor Jim Mandel.
Let's give a big hand for those three pastors. I'll tell you why. They do an awesome job. The dedication, the conviction, the anointing. Amen. Is this you? Kurt? You know how precious these are in life? Who loves their cell phone? I do. I love my cell phone. Matter of fact, I just upgraded to a Google Pixel. I was ready for an upgrade. Yeah, can you imagine? I know. Life is growing fast. I mean, you mentioned 17 years we've been here. 17 years. Holy mackerel. 17 years. Tried and... Yeah. You didn't even have... I remember the bag phone. Anybody remember the bag phone? I was self-employed, and I was like one of the first ones that ever had a mobile phone that was a bag. And then you pulled it out like James Bond 007 with the bag. You know, I thought I was so cool. Funny. Well, with that being said, it's the holidays. And, you know, God really used the three pastors to lead us to this point. And 2,000 years ago, we honor, you know, Jesus who have came and as the one to show us the way to the Father, who really brought us to a revelation of who could be a son of God. And today I want to say a daughter of God too, because I don't want to eliminate the women today. So you look at the women as daughter of God, the men, the son of God. Jesus was a forerunner of giving us that revelation in those days 2,000 years ago. Here we are, 2017, almost 2018. How many people have seen time fly fast? If you're like me, I took a blink and was like, oh, I just remember like year 2000, the millennium year, where all the computers were going to crash and we're going to come to the end. And then I see all of a sudden, boom, 18 years now. You know, we're coming into a time and we've grown so much from now till then. And just seeing our families grow. I don't even think you had children at that time with these two. You had other children, but not these two. I'm pointing at Mayor and even myself, no children. Tim had no children. I mean, we've just been growing and growing. But, you know, we're here as a celebration to move on past the situation of sin and all that. We're not under sin. You know, we've been saved by grace. And that grace is really a knowledge of the divine nature of God living inside of us. It's not a tradition of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, because no matter what we do, God loves us. And he loves us so much that he takes all of our sin and just throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember it. So let's say you lose your temper or whatever. Some people might think that that's sin and you got angry and you know, you might have yelled or screamed. How many is a screamer? I could be a screamer sometimes, you know, I tend to blow up, I get that pressure cooker going for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden I can't take it anymore, and I go, blah! How many people are victims of that? Oh man, I'm a big one, you know, and it takes like 2 or 3 weeks until my pressure goes, but once I blah, you know, and I have that 20 minute of fame and fortune of vomiting, then I'm good for another 4 or 5 weeks until, you know, my pressure tends to explode again, if it goes. But I know for 2018, I feel that God is saying, let's bring us into unity. Today we got a beautiful service. It's almost like a unity candle service. I don't think anyone has ever experienced something like this before. You know, we all are one. And, I'll demonstrate it by lighting candles because we have, I want to say, the unity of the body of Christ right now burning. And we're going to go ahead and pull a flame off of that, showing unity. And then light one candle on this side and one light candle on that side. And then each of us are going to pull a flame from that. And you're going to light your own. And we're going to pass that fire. Oh, hallelujah. Give me strength to stand and show the mystery of the unity of one. We're all one in God's eyes. He created us as one. There is not one greater than the other. We're all unified as one. And as far as sin, there is no sin. It's thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. There is no sin. The beauty is, and we learned from the prophets of old, brought us in as repentance. But the true meaning of repentance through grace, changing the way you're thinking. There is an enemy. And we all know that it was spoken in the past through scriptures. It's called the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is coming, and even here today, he said. But that Antichrist, we realize what it is. It's the soul nature. It's the nature of the soul. It's the sin nature, so-called, what tradition calls it, the sin nature or the carnal nature. And we have learned through grace how to cast down that nature, how to be set free, how to become born again. I mean, there's so much confusion in the tradition religion. I want to take the confusion out. To become born again is just recognizing who our Creator is and give Him your whole life to Him. Lord, I can't figure out today, you know, my hopes, because that's what we are. We're a living hope. We're a living hope. You hope for tomorrow. You hope for your children. You hope for your family. You hope for yourself. You hope. Every day is a day of hope. We can't control it. There's no way that we can control tomorrow. And we learn peace through our hopes by giving our Creator the power to make our hopes come to pass. And this is the truth. And this is how you become born again. By not being the Creator, but worshiping the Creator to rule and reign over your life by you just surrendering your life in His will, where we live just hope. I hope tomorrow. I hope I can wake up. I hope I don't fall on my knees like Pastor Kurt was saying in his message, where he had some friends that just fell under stress and was attacked by the weight of the world because they're trying to control their life. They're trying to make their life happen. They're not living in that living hope. And God has given us hope. He's given us hope to be able to be free, knowing not my will, but your will be done. I'm laying my life down. Here's my hopes. Here's my dreams. Here's what I want. There's a prayer request, Lord, and I got a big one. How many's got a big prayer request? I'll tell you, my hope list is like longer than Santa Claus's list. And, you know, it's laid in front of Him. But I have peace knowing that if it's His will, He'll let it come to pass. If it's not His will, then I accept it through peace. I'm okay with it. And it may not just be the timing. There's things, I bet, that you have a hope and you're just waiting and waiting. And you feel like maybe it's never going to happen. But just keep leaning on that hope. One thing the Lord showed me when I was in prayer and I was really upset. I'm like, Lord, I know that you birthed this in me. And I know, when is it going to come to pass? And then He opened up my eyes and showed me the battle that was over my hope. You know, there is warfare in the spiritual realm. Darkness, there's wickedness, powers, and principalities. Wickedness is really our nature of carnal nature of human being before we become, you know, divine, giving our life to God. Before we give our life to God, we're in that human nature. That human nature is considered wickedness. It's full of drama, full of stress, full of worry, full of fear. And it's really just destroying ourselves, trying to create our life when we have no control and we're not the creator of our life, and we strive and we wear ourselves down and we beat ourselves up. I know I was a victim of that. And then I realized how to become born again. Not from I did have a supernatural encounter that helped. But I began to realize true born again is giving your life fully to God in His hands, holding on to life, which is hope, and then just letting His will be done in my life to obtain peace. Look, God has intentions and good intentions for you, and we might not be ready for God's will. We might, you know, we have a hope inside of us, and maybe we're not ready for it. And sometimes we get anxious and we want it too soon. But God knows if he gave it to us too soon, we might laundry it. You know, we might not be too responsible. And then yet we were in situations where maybe there was a breakup or a separation or, you know, a cancellation, we'll call it. And that could be job or whatever it might be. And God knew he had something better for you. He always has something better. And if we don't believe that, then we're living in what I want to call a nature of self. The sin nature. The nature that is like the Antichrist. God has dreams for all of us. And you know what dreams they are? Your hope. Every desire, every dream, every hope that you have inside of you, he birthed it. He put that inside of you. You couldn't even drum it up. And how I know that is my hopes and dreams are a lot different than your hopes and dreams. But they're all from our Creator. It's the life that he has given you. And this is what we're celebrating. You know, when Jesus broke bread with the apostles, he broke it and said, this is my body and this is my blood. He was saying, come into oneness with me. This is my belief. This is my strange doctrine that Pastor Tim was talking about, how, you know, we have been birthed in a truth that is foreign to religion. Religion wants to create patterns, and religion wants to beat you down and make you feel guilty and ashamed to where you always feel like you have to come to confession. But the truth of God is, there is no more confession. He doesn't want to hear sorry. I made a statement a long time ago, and I didn't really realize what I was saying at that time. But I used to say, you know what? Don't tell me you're sorry. I really don't want to hear it anymore. I want to see a change. Let me see a change. How many have ever felt that way before? You know, you hear somebody say, I'm sorry, and it's like going in one ear and out the other because you don't see any change. What you want to hear is you want to hear change. You want to see change. Well, that's the same thing in God's eyes. He don't want to hear sorry from us. And this is what the purpose of Jesus coming back. He's like, listen, he doesn't desire sacrifices anymore because these sacrifices are just going out the window. It's like you saying sorry, 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 and never changing. And so he brought the point in by saying, you have to repent by renewing your mind. You have to start thinking differently. You have to stop doing what you're doing. And Paul says, why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do? And I keep doing it. And Scripture completely tells us why. He says, because of the sin that dwells within inside of us. There's a nature that causes us to do the things we don't want to do. And has anyone ever heard that saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? The spirit is strong. And when we can give our lives over to God, he endures us with the spirit. He fills us with his spirit. He knows the nature that we were born in. Can't do it. And he empowers us. How many of us want to be empowered? I'm looking at 2018. And if you're like me, I'm sick and tired of fighting. I'm sick and tired of trying to create things and hope for things that may never ever come to pass. I want hopes, and it's my life. And I'm going to hold on to hopes. But I don't want the frustration that comes along with the hopes. I don't want the letdowns and the disappointments because I thought it was going to be today and I don't know what the future is going to hold. And it might be tomorrow, but it may never come. Tired of having my heart broken. How many people are tired of having expectations and then all of a sudden you get a disappointment? You see? But when you can put it in God, he brings that peace to you to where you don't expect anything. Your expectations turn into gratefulness. And then you end up finding yourself just being grateful. I'm just grateful. And this is what this season is to be. A season to be just grateful. Looking at family, looking at loved ones. Looking at those who are close to you. You know, embracing those that actually show you love. You know, I've started making some decisions in my life that if there's grief and all they do is come with grief and there's like no love, it's like I'm wiping the dust off my feet and I'm moving on. I don't need the aggravation in my life. How many people feel like I do? Well, this is a good time to start. You know, you see these people who are just vampires and they just want to suck the blood out of you and come with complaints all the time and you can never be right. You can never do the right thing. You're always wrong. How many people have ever felt that way? And it's like, can I ever please you? Can I ever make you happy? And you may not be able to. And you know what? It might just be the time where you might have to show them that you're a grown-up and you have to empower them. And then no longer can they treat you like a little child anymore. It's time that they can see a woman. And so sometimes we have to put our foot down and say, listen, if you're going to carry on like this and you're going to act like that, I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to separate my relationship from you. That might not be a bad thing coming up this holiday. That might be a really good thing. And it might bring that person to a place of repentance. You may save somebody's life by bringing tough love. God and His truth has always wanted us to lay our life down to be a servant to others. But He never told us to lay our life down to become a doormat for others. And a lot of times, through our boldness of truth, we can bring repentance to somebody else and bring healing in their life. Because that's what God's all about, changing the way we think. And do you think God wants that person to continue to abuse others the way they abused you? So sometimes you might have to show love by saying, I love you very, very much. But at the same time, the abuse, I can never please you. You ever have someone like that in your life where no matter what you do, it just seems like they can never be happy with anything? You know, maybe God wants us to make a stand to bring that person into a place of humility, which will show them, you know, a life that is precious in the eyes of God and begin to value who you are. And I believe God wants to raise His children up so that the world sees value in His children. Those that believe in Him, and especially this point in time in life, and you can hold on to this as prophecy, but I believe those who profess His name coming up in this year and stand in boldness and truth and become one with Him, He will exalt you and honor you. And it may hurt in some areas, but He'll restore what your enemies have tried to destroy. You know, just because someone might be blood related or, you know, whatever like that, doesn't necessarily mean they're your brother or your sister or your mother or your father. Jesus said, you know, there was a story where He says, hey, your mom's knocking at the door for you. And He's like, who's my mother? Who's my father? And He looked at the body of Christ and He says, this is my mother. This is my father. This is my brother. This is my sister. This is my family. Now, God is not looking for division. He doesn't want you to bring division in your household or your friends or family, but He wants you to stand up for truth of who you are. The abuse has to stop. How many people would agree on this? Sometimes we show so much love and we don't know how to express it and we let those people abuse us and then we look back and we condemn ourselves and say, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And you keep on searching yourself and you're looking to see and then you try other things to try to please that person. And you just can't seem to satisfy them no matter what you do. It doesn't seem like you can help in any manner. And it just piles guilt and shame on top of us. And Christ came to take away the guilt and shame. The life of God, Christ, that's that born-again individual. That's the Holy Spirit, the mystery of the Trinity. That's the life that God wants us to come into, where there is no shame and no guilt. You know, there's points, and I know in my own life, there was points where I was beat up by guilt and shame because, you know, they were superiors where I thought, you know, you honor this one, and you honor that one, and, you know, and when they come against you, you kind of look at yourself and say, geez, what did I do wrong? And then after a while, you search yourself and realize you haven't done anything wrong, but you still got the guilt and shame inside you, and it's like, and you try to make things better, and you just can't make anything better, and you always feel enslaved. Well, that could go with anything, anything, job, family, belief, whatever it might be. And God wants us to just embrace his love, embrace his truth, and know who we are. When I ask God about this message, he says, I want them to know who they are. My desire is that they will know who they are, so that the abuse stops in your life. Victory can come. You can be bold and have confidence in the things that God does with your life. You know, there's going to be altering changes in our lives. Moving forward in 2018, what you had in 2017 is going to change. The matter of this message is, how are you going to handle it moving forward? Are you going to be grateful and be and listen, everyone's grateful when good things happen, but are we going to be grateful when the bad things happen? Are we going to be bold to say, hey, I'm tired of, you know, the abuse, I haven't done anything wrong, and I'm making a decision in 2018, I'm going to cut some individuals off in my life or certain things in my life, and I'm going to make a decision to sacrifice those things, and I'm going to walk away. That's bold. But I also know that when we make that bold statement in him, when we do it in God, if you know that you know that you know, and you do things in God, God has a way of turning things around. And he brings victory back into your life. He restores relationships. He restores. It might not be overnight. It might be not in that year. It might not be in 5 years. It might take 20 years. But I've seen restoration. I've seen it in my own eyes through several individuals. And it's this truth really works. I'm a forerunner, just as Jesus was a forerunner. Him and I became one, as our pastors in this place have become one. We're living testimonies of the truth. And I'm not saying that truth always, you know, feels good. Truth hurts. It hurts. But God has a healing anointing when you walk in him. There's a comforter, a spirit that comes into your life and comforts you and brings peace in your heart, and you don't dwell on it. Has anyone ever been rejected before? And have you been rejected for no cause? And then that rejection torments you, and it causes your mind to just lose sleep, make you feel bad. Well, God supernaturally brings his spirit of comfort, and that comfort comes and washes over that rejection, and you can sleep. You can let it, like water, roll right off your back, because you know that you have stood in truth. And when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's what he meant. So we're going to become one with truth. And this year, as a year to always, I always like to look at every year that comes as an opportunity to grow. To say, you know what? I changed the way I thought in 2017. I'm not going to repeat those things that stole my peace. I'm not going to repeat those things that stole my joy. I'm not going to live in guilt and shame because I can't control anything. If things happen in my life, so be it. Because I laid my life down into our Creator's hands, our God. So if I laid my life in his hands, he's the one who's supposed to take care of us. Amen? He says in his promises, you know, I take care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. How much more would I take care of those that I love? And I came to him not because I found him. He found me. It's not because I was looking for God. I know I was sick and I was asking for someone to heal my sickness and I couldn't find it. And then one day he came and healed me, delivered me and set me free. And it's been a glorious road, and I can't say that I would ever walk away from it. And not only will I not walk away from it, but I also know that God has a way of twisting my arm, making it really difficult for me to get back on that straight road. Has anyone ever felt that way, where all of a sudden your heart tend to get cold and you murmured and complained and maybe you just started leaning more towards another direction in life when God knew that that wasn't really the direction and you ignored it? And then all of a sudden, boom, he takes out some comfort out of our life, causes a problem to manifest when everything was going well, and oh geez, now all of a sudden I got an issue to deal with and I really don't feel like dealing with it, and now I know why this issue's here, because I got to get my life straightened out and back onto the course that I'm supposed to be on. We all stray. That's what it's called, falling short of the glory of God. We all stray. But the beauty is, God is like arms opened wide every day. No matter how much we stray, he's always saying, come back. And when you come back, it's going to be like the first day I met you. So moving forward, knowing this, God's arms are always opened up. And he doesn't count the sins against us. So if I was a bad boy yesterday, he don't even see it. He's like this. He just sees his love. He just sees that divine nature of his son or daughter, Christ. He sees his spirit. He sees a part of him inside of us. And that's the beauty. You know, today when we offer this unity of life, I want to call it oneness with our God, it's not coming up here and accepting a tradition story. It's not, you know, anything other than my life is in him. And I'm giving my life over to him. And I'm going to ask for the power of the Spirit to come into my life so that I can surrender all the disappointments, all the rejections, all the aggravation and the thing that drives us to where we feel like we never have any rest. God's desire is for all of us to come into a rest. And we should be real busy, but still have peace, still have rest. I know there was two types of me. One type was that I'm very active, and I get a lot of things accomplished, and I'm always on the move. But at the end of the day, I am just like tired. I seem like I can never get any rest. And I wake up dragging, and it's like, ah. All right, let's go. Let's get this thing done. And after a couple, five cups of coffee, and you know, and the afternoon comes around, I finally got enough strength to keep going. But now that I strengthened my relationship in this truth in God, I wake up with, you know, ambition. All right, let's go. And then when I go to bed, I sleep. I don't like wait there for 3 hours until I finally fall asleep because my mind's just rolling away. I know that he'll accomplish the things that need to get done in my life, and I'm never pressured anymore. There's always tomorrow. I don't have to push myself. I know that things will get done in his timing. I had a list, and if everybody's like me, you probably have a punch list too. Things to get done for the day, things that you would like to get done within the month. You know, sometimes it doesn't always follow that punch list. And before I used to be like, if I don't, I'm going to get so far behind, because I know that if I didn't address things that came onto my desk, the next day it was double. And then the next day it was double after that. And it was like that commercial. You tell one friend, they tell two friends, and then so on and so on. And the next thing you know, you got all this stuff on your desk. But then I realized that God has something supernatural with him. He can make you do things in one day, clear everything in one day, and still have time to do some other things. I've watched him stop time in my life. And how I know is because it takes point A to point B, it takes a certain amount of time to get to point A to point B. Even Google tells you it takes a certain, and I've made it from point A to point B quicker than what Google said. So I know that there are certain things that God has power over, and that's like everything. So moving forward in 2018, let us confess him in our hearts. There's a call. I heard it, and it started with the three pastors before I got up. A call to come to righteousness, a call to come to God, a call in 2018 to come to him. Now, we've all confessed. In our hearts, we confessed. I know God, I say my prayers, yada, yada, yada. But he's saying, let's take it to another level. You know, it's not just doing the right things and saying your prayers and whatever. It's that next level of overcoming. Overcoming. And what are we overcoming? That nature. That nature that is called sin. That sin nature. The flesh. The ego. The carnal man. The human being. I don't know how many more words there are to describe this thing. But there's only a couple of words to describe the other thing. And that's divine nature, Christ, Holy Spirit, you know, his child, son and daughter. And that's where I look around and those that hear me are who you are. You're a child of God. Whether you think it or not, you are. And he lives inside of us. He lives in each and every person from the day they're born. But his life is just a seed. It's a little tiny seed that dwells within inside of you. Little tiny seed. And there's a thing called an awakening where that seed cracks open. And then it begins to get watered and nurtured. And that watering and that nurturing is basically understanding this truth, hearing these messages, and beginning to cast down that thing that is looking to try to destroy your life. The sin nature is there, and its job is to take you to a bad place. Not many people realize that. But that nature is not there to make your life better. It's there to make your life upset. But when you can come out of that nature, you come into a place called peace, where it allows you to lay your life down, and you know that God's going to work things out. He's going to work it out, no matter what. And my desire is that you have relationship with this God, as I have this relationship, as the pastors have this relationship. And Jesus said the same thing. Father, let them be one as we are one. Father, let them be one as we are one. And so this is today. You're here for a special reason. It's not by accident that you're here. It's not by accident that God woke you up and led you here. It's not by accident that, you know, those that are listening are hearing this message. And you can participate with us if you're around the world. You can participate with us right now as we go forward with this, I want to call, unity ceremony. I'm going to light candles. I'm going to ask, I don't know if I want the girls to play some. Jim, do you have a song that you can find that's going to be suitable to play while we're going through this, I guess, ceremony? We don't plan much. We just kind of go with the flow. And I'm going to go ahead and pull a light, and what I mean by pull a light is I'm going to take a take the flame that is burning already, which I believe, spiritually speaking, this flame has been burning since before creation. The fire is burning. And I'm going to pull this flame, and I'm going to bring this flame over. I'm going to do the same thing over here. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise. You know, you can start seeing something here, how this flame just begin to expand and flow. And we're one. Spiritually, we're one. And we're there for one another, and we stand for one another. We stand for the truth. And who knows where our future may bring us. But God, since the beginning of creation, always wanted unity with His children. He always wants to bring that, and He'll never leave us or forsake us. And so moving forward in 2018, you can have this confidence in your heart that you're, I want to say, born again. I want to say unified with God, because an awakening has just taken place. How many people have believed the message that was spoken today? And if you believe that message, embrace His love. It's not about sin. I had friends that said, Jim, if I came to your service, the place would catch on fire. And I would be like, why do you feel that way? God doesn't look at our sin. He probably loves you more than some of the people in there. So what are you doing? He loves us. He's not looking at our righteousness, because the righteousness of man is foolish in God's eyes. It stinks. He wants His righteousness. And the only way that we can obtain God's righteousness is by doing what we're doing. Trusting Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Giving our life to Him. Not getting upset. Casting down that nature that wants us to always get worried and upset and have fear. Not standing for truth. Receiving the abuse and receiving the guilt and shame. When there is no guilt and shame in the eyes of God. In Christ, there is no guilt and shame. We haven't done anything wrong. Look, I'm not perfect. But in the eyes of God, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm perfect. You see? Have I made mistakes? Were they? Did I do bad? Was it? I look at it as every footstep is led by God. And I think, Lord, do you want me to go or not? Do you want me to stay or not? Do you want me to hit this guy in the head or not? Sometimes He says, no, Jim, don't hit him. Other times He says, hey, I'm not looking. Just understand the life with God. He wants you to have fun. He wants you to enjoy the life that we live. He wants you to party. He wants you to have good times. Look, everything is good. Not everything is edifying, but everything is good. And what I mean by like overindulgence, almost like, here's an example. It's nice to have a glass of wine, but when you're dancing on the table with the lampshade, then you gotta say to yourself, is it good now? So everything is good in the eyes of God. Amen? And I want us to be free. I don't want us to feel like we have to put on a cloak of some type of tradition of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. If you feel good in your heart, enjoy life. Enjoy life. If you start feeling that little twitch of, hey, you had enough, or turn, or cut this person off, or stand your ground, do it. God's pleased. It's almost like this. How many of us have children? And how many of us love those children? And how about when those children are bad? Then you want to like spank that child. Well, we don't spank, but you know what I mean. Correct that child in a way of getting your point across. And you don't really like doing it, but you know it's good for the child, right? Well, God eventually wants us to do the same thing in our own lives. Take control of discipline and start bringing things into the right way in the eyes of God. And sometimes we might have to cut someone off. Sometimes we might have to, you know, show them love, and yet then we show them another type of love. But God wants us to be like Him. And He chastens those that He loves. So in moving forward in 2018, I know just by the Spirit that there are some here that come under some abuse from loved ones that we don't need to necessarily come under, because we're good. And there's no reason for us to take that shame and that guilt anymore. And I believe God is saying, I'm washing that guilt and that shame away. But I need you to stand. I need you to stand and make that stand in me. How many are willing to make that stand? Amen. Amen. Let's make that stand in 2018. And let's show God that we are children of God. And we're willing to stand for Him. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to ask Pastor Sam if he would close us. And Pastor Tim, if you could also come and give a closing also.
Pastor said it earlier. The goal of this ministry is that we would know God, have a relationship with Him. What started us on this journey was a scripture that said that many came to Him in the last days and said, Father, didn't we prophesy in Your name? Didn't we heal the sick in Your name? We did many miracles in Your name. And God said to that person, be gone from me, work of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't want to be that person. You know, how many of us in here can be honest with ourselves and say honestly that we need a better relationship with God? Every one of us should be saying that. I need a better relationship with You, God. And let me tell you how to get it. It's so simple. Listen to the messages in here. Every single message is like another layer of God. You want to know who God is? The messages in here will give you layer after layer after layer of who God is. And pretty soon a foundation is built of God through truth. And you'll start seeing who God is. It's impossible to see God. And this ministry will lay a foundation of who God is. And as you grow, you'll start to know Him more and more and more. A relationship starts like that. Amen? I find
rest. Pastor Kurt? Yeah. Come up first and then I'll end it.
And then we're going to be celebrating Christmas tomorrow. All right. Think of the gifts that are under the trees. Of the gift that God has given every one of us, and that's Christ within each one of us. And the presence, as we look at a box with a bow on it, ask for His presence in your life. In every action that we have, ask Him to be with us. Because He's there. We just have to acknowledge Him. But this holiday season, show His love. Ask for His love. Because if you have love here, He wants to give you love here. You have faith here, He wants to give you faith here. Ask. He won't give you a snake. He's a gracious God. He's brought me out of hell. He wants to bring everybody out of hell. We're all in hell into a little bit, to a degree. Everybody goes through things. Everybody. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Just ask God to help. He'll help with anything. And don't think it's tedious, because it's not to Him. He just wants that relationship. That's part of the relationship. It's crying out to God for help. Amen?
And just remember, you know, if you really, truly in your heart believe this message, you can walk through those doors today knowing that you have a relationship with God now, that He lives and dwells in each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what religion, where you came from, who you were. It matters who you're leaving walking through those doors today, that God is in you and he has a relationship with you because he's called you. You're his child, you're his son, his daughter of the living God. And you can pass that on to anybody you know, because God wants everyone in this world to have a relationship with him. And it's time to put religion under our feet now, because that's what's causing separation out there. But it's the love of God that unites. So if you're here, we just want to welcome you back. We got Wednesday night service. It's just a quick service. It's about 45 minutes long. We'll be here from 7:30 probably to like 8:30 at the latest. And then Sunday, 10 o'clock, we have worship service. We're going to have a New Year's Eve service. We welcome everybody back. We welcome you listening on the web. We thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you hopefully on Wednesday night. So everybody go in peace. Be loved. Have a great week. God bless.